It's been nice here in mid-coastal Maine for the past few days. In fact, I think the temperature yesterday was close to 70, maybe a bit above, and today in the 60s. Are you thinking about gardening?
We are. Actually, we had the guys out today putting rope up to prevent people from parking in areas where there's mud. But we are thinking about gardening. We've been raking up the beds, hoping that we'd see signs.
And what are you going to plant?
Well, Millie, we plant lots of things. We plant lettuce. We have a beautiful, two beautiful big greenhouses. So we plant lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, cabbage, squash, beets, kale. We also plant flowers, and we sell flower baskets in May in our greenhouse. We've tried corn. You know, we haven't had much luck with corn.
It's a tough crop to grow in
it's
Maine.
It's a big drinker, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'd like to look at that. We have an irrigation system.
It's a big
that
nitrogen, if that's what
you
meant.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, like moisture and nitrogen.
Moisture,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
We set up an irrigation system last year, so we'll see if we can keep up with the water needs of a corn crop. But we used to harvest our field for hay, and that's something that I think we might like to get back into again, providing hay for farmers in the area. We've just planted 200 balsam fir trees.
Oh, really?
And we're hoping that we can sustain that. It'll take some time.
Is this for wreath making and
for
Christmas trees and things?
Christmas trees is part of the season. And so the plan, obviously, is, you know, once you cut, you plant again. So we're venturing into that. We have some beautiful peach trees. And we have a farmer's market 2 days a week on Monday.
On your grounds?
No, actually.
Oh, where?
We participate in the Bucksport Farmers Market.
All right.
Which is on Thursdays.
Where's that located? Downtown?
It's downtown next to the post office in parking lot.
And tell me the days again.
It's on Thursday afternoons at 1 o'clock. And then there's a farmers market on Monday afternoons. And it used to be in the parking lot of the Maine Community Foundation. I believe it's still there this year.
Okay.
And that's in Ellsworth.
In Ellsworth?
Yes.
Okay. So Bucksport and Ellsworth, you're right in between both, pretty much.
Yeah.
Is that right? No.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
No, you're
no,
not.
Whereabouts?
You have to go east to get to both of those places.
Yeah, we're just a few miles out of Bucksport.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
On top
okay.
of the hill.
Now, what does I may have asked you this? You may have told me already, but you know, I'm getting up there, and can't remember everything that people say to me. So what does an executive director do on a day-to-day basis?
I do people on a day-to-day basis. It's interesting. I love the job. I didn't realize I would love it this much. It's
so do you screen applicants and clients, or what do you mean?
No. Our staff. I work with the staff.
Okay.
They have a big job, and they're folks who have come to home, not trained in those fields.
You have 42 or so?
Yeah.
Is that what you said was the number?
42, just a few days ago.
42 staff members.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So I support the staff. You know, they deal with challenges, really big challenges.
Yeah.
People who come to home are in desperate need, and that comes out sideways. So my role is mostly it's taken up helping our shelter staff navigate challenges, keeping up with state regulations, and you know, when you distribute food through we have a food bank and a soup kitchen, and we also, in addition to the shelters, so I do a lot of I keep up a lot with state officials and requirements in that
okay.
respect.
Yeah,
I spend a lot of time talking with folks that come in, and I do spend what I love about this particular job is. At home, the executive director isn't this high-up, fancy office job. I get to be on the front lines with the rest of my staff, and I love that. I'm, you know, mopping up a mess on the front porch at the same time as talking with you.
So, what
show.
Departments do you have under you? What department heads or?
I have a shelter director. I have a thrift department director, a learning center coordinator. And two office administrators, a finance director, a daycare director, a market stand manager, an automotive garage department, a sawyer, and a shingle mill operator, and So those are the department heads, and then all of their staff.
Wow. Well, that's...
and then, of course, the Emmaus Center director as well. So,
what do you enjoy about it the most? Any particular parts of those? Did you like the automotive?
I do.
Do you?
I do. You know, over the years, it's been funny. I've often said to Lucy, you know, I've been there 12 years, so, you know, in the early part of it, I've always said, I would love to go over to the garage and just be a mechanic. And, of course, Lucy, we'd just do it.
Sure.
Go over there, okay. I love that part. I love working with El Sawyer Clint, who's been there longer than I have, and he also came to Home Homeless. And
what does Sawyer Clint do?
He's the sawyer. He runs,
saws the logs. He saws
and,
the logs.
He harvests all of our firewood with a crew. We have
Do you sell the firewood?
We don't, but we're going to try and do that. That's
okay.
Something new we're taking on.
All right.
We burn about 100 cord of firewood a year.
Oh, you do?
Between all of our shelters.
Okay. So that's your primary energy source?
It is. And it's a hard... We were trying not to use oil and to find a mm-hmm. way for folks who are in our shelters to engage. And, you know, it's like the gentleman I was telling you about earlier today that I overheard. He was raking and he said to another guy in the shelter, you know, I just want to earn my keep. And that's important to people, I'm finding. And so the furnaces, they need to be filled 4 times a day in a 24-hour period. The firewood needs to be harvested. It's a lot of work to keep them going.
It is a lot of work. Sure it is.
And so it allows people to work with their hands. And, you know, being homeless or just being poor in general can be really isolating. So you can be a part of something.
So do you own your own woodlot or woodlots?
We own, we have over 350 acres in land trust.
All right.
We don't always buy, we do buy wood, I'm sorry, and sometimes loggers will donate tree-length wood to
mm-hmm.
us. And we sell lumber, and we also harvest, you know, cut firewood. But we also have a shingle mill. And so we sell very, very good quality 1 and 2 cedar shingles. And we have we sell beautiful cedar shingles. And so if you're ever in the market for cedar shingles to do your house, stop up at home, and you got a beautiful house, and you're supporting a mission. So,
now, how are they sold from home retail, or do you wholesale to lumber companies?
We don't wholesale to lumber companies yet. It's a commitment we're not quite sure we can live up to.
Well, you've got a lot on your plate.
Yeah,
I mean,
we have one guy that runs the mill with a couple of helpers, so that might be a little difficult mm-hmm. for now. So we just sell to local craftsmen, carpenters. And
Well, speaking of building homes, tell me about, is it Dedham where you actually build homes?
No, Dedham is one of the areas. We have several locations. We have, we've built houses in Dedham. We've built houses in Sedgwick. We've built houses in Bucksport. We've built houses on Patton Pond.
Mm-hmm.
We've built houses in Orland. Altogether, 53 house. We're on our 53rd house right now.
So can I come buy one of your houses?
Please do, yeah.
Oh, is that how it works? Anybody can buy a house, or do you have
I thought you meant stop by to visit.
Oh, I'd love to visit, but I just wondered if...
No, you can't just come buy one.
No, okay. So how does the...
You have to be... we have income guidelines. You have to be within the poverty guidelines for the state of Maine, so below poverty, at or below poverty.
And tell
level.
Me about the houses. What are they like? What do they look like?
So the traditional design is a 2-3-bedroom cape. In the beginning, the early years, Phil Gray is quite well known in the Orland area. He passed away several years ago, and he was our head carpenter for many years. And the houses are stick built. And in the beginning, our houses weren't built on slabs. We've changed the design a little bit now, so all of our houses are, most of our houses are 2-3-bedroom capes on a basement or a slab.
Oh, good.
And there are cedar shingles. We have 1 or 2 salt boxes, I believe. And the farmhouse, a Mandela shelter where Lucy lives, I'm not sure the style of that house, but it's a very big 2-story house.
Is soap box a style?
It is.
And how does that differ from a cape?
It's got one very straight side, and if there are any architects listening, I apologize. It's
aren't you supposed to have 4 straight sides?
Well, I guess
you mean is it like a salt box?
Yeah. there you have it. It looks just like a soapbox. It's
You call it a soapbox.
Salt.
You said salt.
I did.
I misheard
you. I said salt box.
You said salt box.
Okay, so I'm confused now. Yes, I said salt box.
It's a salt box. Yeah. I like that style. That's pretty New England, isn't it?
It is. Very New England. Yeah.
Nantucket, Cape Cod, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. Now, were these architect designed?
Yes. Yes. We have a volunteer who designed them for us from Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I would love to come and see your houses. And they're heated with wood. Is that right?
Not all of them.
No.
Some of them have what you call a Russian fireplace.
I think I know what that is, but go ahead.
I bet you do. So it's a fireplace in the middle of the house, and it's a Russian style, I guess, made of bricks. And
yeah.
You load it maybe once or twice a day, and it heats your whole house for days. It's quite incredible. And the design... I don't know who designed it, but we were fortunate enough to have a gentleman build those for us. So some of our houses.
Well, probably
have those.
A Russian designed it a few hundred years ago.
Yeah.
I remember when we lived in Maine, before we moved, now we're living in Maine again, but before we moved away, that was something that people were talking about, building Russian fireplaces.
Yeah,
enormous brickworks that would hold the heat.
It's amazing how they hold the heat. I'm just surprised.
Internally have all kind of baffles where the smoke and fumes circulated throughout this brick thing.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're pretty hot, aren't they?
Yeah, very.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Ian, look, I apologize if I get carried away with my sense of humor, but you're an easy person to talk with. So.
Great.
I know you don't. You don't really mind that. Okay. Let's see. We've talked about the gardening. We've talked about the home building. We've talked about the learning centers. Tell me about a typical client. Tell me about paint a picture for our listeners, the folks that come and who they are and what they need and how you help them. I could be a single dad. I could be a single mom.
It's a mixed bag. You could be a person who has a job,
or not. Yeah.
You could be a single dad. You could be a single mom. You could be a pilot who lost his job. That's happened. You could come from the tech industry and have lost your job. That's happened. It's surprising. It's changed a lot over the 12 years that I've been there, even. Now...
Are there age limitations? I know. I'm too old to be part of your...
No. We have... as far as staying in our shelters, we don't have shelters for children, unaccompanied minors. We don't do that. But we have... connections with shelters that do have spaces for children. But there are no age limits. You know, we have people who are 18 and we have people who are 80 working side by side.
Oh, I guess I could fit in there somewhere. I'm right in between 18 and 80.
You could fit.
Right in the middle
right
there.
Right in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, typically...
In my mind.
It's a population of hard-working Mainers. And that's the thing. Yeah. These are people who, you know, often have just visible bruise. The world has just wiped them out.
Is homelessness a big problem in Maine?
It is. And it shouldn't be, but it is.
No, it shouldn't be.
It is. And I it's exacerbating because we know how to stop it. We know how to end it.
Yeah.
And what happens now is when you come to the shelter... we can do all we can do with the person to help them get into a better situation. But unless affordable housing or access to affordable housing balances out, there's not much we can do to get people into permanent housing unless we do it ourselves, and that's what we've been doing.
So have you seen the real estate market in Hancock County just going through the roof, as they say?
Yeah, well, in the Bucksport area, not so much because of the mill closing.
Right.
That affected things, but it's creeping up. But, for, you know, a person...
Casting, Blue Hill,
yeah,
Ellsworth,
exactly,
they're all...
Exactly. And a rent, you know...
You can't rent a place.
You can't rent a place even if you're working, and even if you're not, I mean, let alone if you're not working.
Yeah.
The subsidies are drying up. We were, you know, the HCV program, which is the Section 8 program, is frozen now, and that's just recent. Mm-hmm. That's devastating. They're, you know, the state's responding in the best way it can at some levels.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't imagine it, you know, if you add a cut of general assistance to that mix, I think you're going to have an increase even more. Homelessness from 2015 to 2016 increased by 5%. And families with children are the highest growing number mm-hmm. of that. Homelessness among people who have mental illness increased 36%. Homelessness among people with substance abuse issues increased 39%. So basically, homeless shelters are the low-income housing of our time and the substance abuse centers of our time. And guess what? We're not trained to, you know, we're not trained social workers. And so it's a difficult mix, but it's exacerbating. That's all I can say, because we can fix it if we just provided
yeah.
affordable housing. Well, so Home tries to do its best for that.
Well, you're doing yeah, great, you
yeah.
know, and that's the problem down here in Belfast and down the coast, Rockport and Rockland and Camden.
Yeah.
It's the same situation,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
It's growing worse.
Yeah.
Year by year.
It is. I think what's special about Home, there are 42 shelters in the state, and a lot of shelters, you have to leave during the day, sit in a park, and come back at night
oh, really?
For your bed. Not all, but a lot. And I think what's
special... It's tough in the winter, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's isolating. And I think what's special about Home is that all we expect is that you give back in some way to
mm-hmm.
the service of others. Mm-hmm. And you can stay during the day. Mm-hmm. I might ask you to rake the lawn. We'll eat lunch together at the
mm-hmm.
food bank or soup kitchen, I mean. And, you know, we can put you to work if you're able and want to.
Mm-hmm.
But you're part of something. I have a guy who moved out of homelessness 2 weeks ago, and guess where he is every day at lunch? He's hanging out with us.
He's come back, hasn't
so
he?
So he's housed permanently, but I saw him today at the picnic table. So there's something about community that I think is a big part of how we approach people
mm-hmm.
who are homeless. Yeah.
Let me just remind our listeners, you're listening to WBFY 100.9 FM, Belfast Community Radio. This is George Frangoulis, sometimes called the Golden Greek. At least that's what Carrie Bacon called me before she ended her show. And we're here in the studio talking with Tracy Hare about Home. Homemakers Organize for More Employment, located in Orland and other places in Hancock County, and listening to Tracy describe the wonderful programs that Home is conducting for their clients, I guess I could call them, the many, many needy folks who need a helping hand. We've got a little bit of time. What else can you tell us about Home that we haven't touched on? Tracy.
Well, let's see. Home is...
Let me ask you this. Have you got any inspirational case stories? Not mentioning people's names, but can you give us some examples of how some people have come to you and you've helped to lift them up and where they may have gone?
Well, we do. We do. We have a lot of stories that... Well, we have one story of, and I briefly touched on him, the gentleman who's hired as our sawyer, and I have permission to speak of his story.
Okay.
You know, he came to us, and he didn't speak at all, hardly. You couldn't see his face. Very shy, had some problems communicating with folks. And he's been with Home for about 20 years, and he's a department head and a very successful sawyer, well-liked in the community. Participates. He's married. He has a house, and his life is good.
Mm-hmm.
We have folks who have...
Now, 20 years is a long time to be part of a home. What about... That's not typical, is it?
Well, there are a lot of lifers, we call them.
Lifers,
yes,
yeah.
It's very typical.
Okay.
It's very typical, yeah. I think it just... it just catches you. Home feels like the way the world should be. Everyone uh-huh. should have a chance to realize who they can be.
Yeah.
We have a young man who's he was raised by the sisters, and he's just graduated high school, and he came from a country that is in poverty, and he came as a very young child, and he's now
what country?
He's from Guatemala. His
okay.
father came over here fleeing the civil war,
mm-hmm.
and he's gone to school here and graduated and went to college, and he's working now as our construction one mm-hmm. of our construction workers. People who don't work at home still have moved on to, we've built 53 houses, and 40 of those families are still housed and in their houses. So that's quite a story.
And are they gainfully employed?
Some are.
Some
that's
are.
Not the measuring stick we use.
Okay.
Because employment's not just it. It's,
but do
you
they
know,
have
are
to
they,
pay for their home? Do they
do.
Have to pay a mortgage?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, they're independently, they finance their own lives.
All right.
Yeah, they do that. What we tend to look at as success is somebody who's perhaps been sober for 12 years, or someone mm-hmm. who's never been back to prison, or someone whose family has stayed together despite big challenges. Employment's a big part of it. But for us, the folks that we work with day to day, sometimes employment's not the only measuring stick we can use.
Mm-hmm.
Home, like I said, we have a mixed bag of people that we work with. So some folks, traditional employment is a long way off.
Mm-hmm.
Not impossible, but it's a long way off for some folks.
Okay. We have a couple of guests in the studio today, and I'm wondering if either one of them wants to ask Tracy a question, and I will repeat it if you just holler it out.
Well, I was just asking if you sell and ship Christmas wreaths.
Okay.
Because I would much rather go through you all than L.L. Bean.
Okay, the question is from Kristen, who's in the studio with us today, do you sell and ship Christmas wreaths at Christmas time?
We do, and I'm not biased at all, but I'm told we have the most beautiful wreaths. Our wreaths, and we actually have centerpieces as well, single and triple centerpieces, and we ship them all across the U.S., out to California, up to Connecticut, down to Connecticut, sorry. We ship them within the United States. They're beautiful wreaths, and the program is... the centerpieces are made in Holmes Woodshop, and the balsam fir is cut the day of or the day before your centerpiece is made. So, and I usually, I'm out in the woods tipping in my boots for the centerpiece makers. I'm not artistic enough to make them, but I bring them the brush. And the Christmas wreaths, we make the traditional size wreaths, but we also do special orders, 22-inch wreaths, decorated, okay. undecorated. And you can find an order form on our website. I'll mention it again, HOMEMMAUSA.org. You can find an order form there, or you can call the main office at 469-7961, and we'd be happy to send you an order form as well. But we do ship them. What's like most of Holmes programs, we have very talented artists and crafters with us. We have several crafters, and we have a craft store on grounds, and you can find beautiful pottery, stained glass, weaving, quilts, very traditional main items, pot holders, woodworking. And what's special about those items is not only are you buying a unique, one-of-a-kind, beautiful object, whether it be a wreath or a piece of pottery, you're supporting that person as mm-hmm. well. And Home pays wreath makers to low-income wreath makers only to bring in the wreaths for us, and we decorate them.
Now, what about these other craft areas? Can anybody come in and learn pottery?
You can, and that's the cool part of the Learning Center. We still have...
Tell us about the Learning Center.
So the Learning Center... We have a large classroom upstairs, a summer camp and a day camp on the first floor, a licensed daycare for 12 children. On the second floor, we have a classroom, and you could learn, one could learn, basic reading and writing, math, computer skills, or if you like, you can take a health class. We're hoping to have an acupressure clinic there soon. You can learn to do weaving in our weaving shop. We have a very skilled potter who can teach you how to throw pottery, and we have a stained glass artist right on campus, a stained glass studio. We have a wood shop where one can learn to build birdhouses and whatever they wish to build. So the craft shops are a very big part of home and especially home's history. So we still have, it's interesting, when you walk around home campus, it has a very cottage feel to it. Mm-hmm. It's quite special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you working at all, or I'm thinking about either the Eastern Maine Community College or the University mm-hmm. of Maine, do any of these institutions work with home in any way?
We've worked some with the Eastern Maine Community College.
You have. What have you done with them?
We've just collaborated. Some of our students have gone there for further higher education. Not a lot. Our learning center is designed intentionally to meet folks where they're at. So, you know, an auto mechanic doesn't really have a lot of need for some of the basic academic classes that you would yeah. get at an adult learning center. So we have the luxury of catering a class to the need to the needs of the person that comes to us. And oftentimes that's a skill people using their hands.
Yeah.
You know, we have a music class. And you know what's even more unique and amazing is if we have a person come into our shelters who has a particular skill, and this happened once. We had a guy come in who played the guitar. He was quite incredible, and so we asked him to teach a guitar playing class.
And did he?
He did.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And we have Julia here who is trained in acupuncture and acupressure, and she does a health and healing class and teaches people how to listen to their bodies in relation to
I
health,
see.
And
yep.
she studied Chinese medicine. So that's something that we do.
Do you do anything with food preparation?
We do.
What
if,
is that?
If there's a need for that in the kitchen, we've had in the past a cooking class. We don't have one this year, but that's always an option for folks.
Mm-hmm.
If folks want to learn how to bake, we have a bakery. And that's another area that we can teach people how to use their hands.
You have a little bit of, or a lot of everything.
A lot of everything going on
at home.
A lot of everything, yeah. It's more than just three hots and a cot, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think a reason to get out of bed is more, more than just a bed, right?
Yeah.
Well,
Tracy, this has been great talking with you about home. Homemakers Organized for More Employment brings back very warm memories, and go ahead.
We still comb the goats for cashmere, just so you.
You still comb the goats for
cashmere. Goats for cashmere.
Oh, that's great.
That will make you happy.
That will make me happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a goat person.
Yeah.
And I remember Sister Lucy bringing her little goats to visit with our buck goat Theseus. That was interesting.
Yeah.
So if Sister Lucy is listening, I love you, Lucy. And I'm going to sign off now. We're just a couple of minutes before the hour, but I think we've talked enough about home today, Tracy.
Thank you
so very, very much.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.